Thank you. Amen. You know, some folk, they'll come to church on the North Coast, they'll say, now, what kind of church is this? Is this a like what kind of music do they have? And you know, we just like all kinds of music. And I just love when Patrick sings. Awesome. Thank you, Patrick. And I love rap music. I love, you know, whatever. Love the hymns of the church as well. Great to have you here this morning. I missed you. It's been a whole week. What y'all been doing all week long? Calling those things that are not as though they were, right? Pressing in, getting the victory. Amen. Just standing for Jesus and getting on fire and building your passion for Him. I pray that that's all the above. And that's really what we want to do. It's what we need to do, is just call on the name of the Lord. Don't forget, we've got numbers of home discipleship groups happening around the city. We've got three of them right now at Tossie and Rita Wiley's. They can stand if they're in here. I think they're in here. They were in here. There they are. Hey, guys. Stand right there. Stay steady. Stay steady. They're in Solon. Stay. Scott Norris, he's up in Euclid. Am I right? In Highland Hills. John and Lisa Craker, they're Highland Hills. Highland Heights. Okay. Those are the three right now. Get to one of them. You say, what do I need to get to one of them for? Because you need discipled. Amen. Amen. And then we meet on the off week, and we are pouring into them, Tina and I, and anybody else that would like to become a leader in discipleship, come to that off week at Tossie and Rita's on the off Wednesday. And Tina and I are there to share the Word of God with you and give you leadership principles and tips of 30 years of ministry and impartation. You know, that's what I believe God's doing here. This isn't just a church service. This is an impartation time. God's imparting His Spirit to us. And we've got to be ready to receive it. Be postured to receive it. So get your Bible out. Let's go to the Word this morning. Just for a couple of minutes. You got some more time? Or I keep saying the morning, but it's really afternoon. Last time I preached, it was morning. And now it's in the afternoon. But I want to go to Revelation chapter 3. And if you begin to read this particular chapter, it's about the church called Sardis. And Sardis was known as a church that had been dead. Now, I'm not inferring that to anything in here, because I believe you all are really alive, or you'd probably be gone by now. If you were a dead Christian, you probably wouldn't have stayed through that worship, more than likely. You'd have been out the door thinking, my God, what did I get myself into? But Revelation chapter 3 speaks to of the church overall. And this is what I got. I got so much excitement about this region, because I think prophetically God is speaking to Cleveland. God is speaking to this region. And, you know, He's saying to this church in Sardis, He said in verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Strengthen the things that remain and be watchful, because they're about ready to die. What it says in the Amplified Bible is this: strengthen and invigorate that which remains. Meaning God says, you know what? I've not forgotten this city. I've not forgotten your children or your family or your husband. I've not forgotten this generation. Even though they may have temporarily turned their back on me, there's something still inside of them that longs for God. And He said, here's what you got to do. You've got to strengthen and invigorate it. Meaning bring it back to life again. And that's what I believe God is doing in all of us, is He's bringing back to life again the very life of God in us. Amen? Oh, man, that's what we need to do. Let's take a praise break right there. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we thank You for that, because you know what? That's what we need. That's what this generation needs. Strengthen and invigorate that which remains. Now, in the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about the Damascus Road. We talked about the burning bush in the wilderness. And today, we're going to visit another pathway in life called the Emmaus Road. But notice about the Damascus Road. It spoke so clearly of a religion relationship. You see, Saul was very zealous in his religion, but he didn't know God. He didn't know Him personally. He didn't have a face-to-face meeting with God. But he was zealous for God. He loved God. But on the road to Damascus, God suddenly interrupted his life with a divine presentation of His power. And Saul was transformed into a Paul. And he was never, ever the same again. You know, there are people in this generation who have only been religious. But don't get mad at them and don't look down your noses at them, because most of them, that's all they've ever been told. That's all they've ever been taught. They'll get in church, and if they had a music like this morning, where Patrick gets up there, starts rapping and dancing and shouting, they'd be like, I never seen this in church before. I was in the Lorraine location this morning, and a lady, bless her heart, first time in the church. She walks in, I'm standing at the door, I'm greeting her. How you doing? God bless you. Happy Sunday. She looks at me and she says, happy Sunday. She walks through and she comes back about 30 seconds later. She goes, excuse me, I have a tambourine. Is it okay to play it here? I said, is the Pope Catholic? Of course you could play it here. You got to be kidding me. Those individuals, that's all they've ever been taught. They've been restricted in their praise and their worship, and they've been told all the do's and all the don'ts, and they've been told all the regulations and how you have to approach God and all of that, you know. And the Damascus Road is like, you know what? God just wants to reveal himself to us. And then some of us are in the church and we're trying to forget our past. We're trying to overcome our failures, and some of us have messed up royally. Okay, I'm gonna be the first to admit it. Mess up right here. Okay? And we've got our past, and the enemy likes to use our past to haunt us, to bring back to us, and to negate anything God tries to do in us. He reminds us of what we've done so that we would feel condemned and we wouldn't push forward in the current move of God. And that's the wilderness experience. And that's where Moses was. He traveled the paths of his past constantly. But I want you to know that this is a new day. Yeah. It's not a religious day. And it's not a day of having to worry about your past, because the bush began to burn and the fire came from heaven and it began to speak to Moses, and it clearly revealed to him, hallelujah, that he has a future and he has a ministry and he has a purpose on this earth. And I want to just say that to this region. I want to declare that to principalities and powers of the air. You see, if there was nobody else here this morning but my family, I would preach this message with the same fervor. Why? Because I know I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to principalities and powers and strongholds over a region and over a city. And I'm here to declare today that the spirit of religion will be broken in this region. And the spirit of condemnation and guilt will be broken in this region. But not only that, there is a spirit of despair. There is a spirit of lost hope. The Bible says in Proverbs that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And that's the road to Emmaus. You know, Emmaus literally means, or has reference to, that which is despised and obscure. And there are people in this region who have lived their Christian life with depression and with sadness and their fallen countenance, and they don't have joy of the Lord because of all the disappointments in life. I mean, one thing after another that's occurred, and our disappointment, our failure to hope has separated us from the love of God. And yeah, we love God. Man, we love God with all our heart, but you know what? I've got no joy. I've got no expectancy. I've got no fervor. I've got no passion. I've got no energy. God's saying, I want to restore that, because Cleveland is not in obscurity. Cleveland is not in despair. You're not a mistake on the lake. You're not someone that is second rate. You're not somebody that God has forgotten about, because there is a visitation, a holy visitation that has come upon this place. And I'm so glad to be a part of it. I'm so glad to be here this morning and just declare the word of the Lord with you. I'm so glad to be able to lift my hands and praise God and just join my voice with yours and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Look at somebody and just give them a high five. Say, I believe I'm in the right place, man. Oh, I believe I'm in the right place. But see, here's our challenge. I read a story in the Bible in Matthew 25 about 10 virgins. Now, these virgins were all virgins. They were the same. They looked the same. They dressed the same. They all had lamps. They were all waiting for the groom. They were all in the right place. But there was one thing that separated the wise from the foolish. And I kept looking at the scripture, and look what I found. I found that the wise had jars of oil that they were able to pour into the lamp. Should the lamp start going dim, they had extra oil. Tap your neighbor and say, extra oil. What made the virgins... Now, you all are talking to me this morning. I'm like, wow, this church is getting like free or something. But I feel like I'm back in Lorraine. Yeah. Oh, it's close together. That's what it is. Y'all aren't spread out. Huh? But what happened was they had extra oil, but the foolish ones had no extra oil. So all they had was their knowledge of God, their mental assent of God. But when things happened in their life, when disappointments come, how many know in this world you're going to have tribulation? Right? If you don't believe that, you're in the wrong planet, man. You have not experienced much life. Maybe you're like, you know, really brand new in the Lord. You think it's going to be like that all the time. I mean, God doesn't change, but our current situations tend to alter. But we need that oil so that we can challenge those situations and cause the fire to burn brighter. Now, this was the difference between the two of them. So here they were in Luke chapter 24. And if you'd like to turn there with me, is a story of two men that were on the road to Emmaus. They were on their way to obscurity. Why? Because something was stolen from them through the trials of life. They had been with Jesus. They were excited, man. The Messiah's come. He's going to conquer Rome. He's going to be the king. He's going to deliver us from oppression. Woo! Going to be a great weekend. And then he ends up getting killed. So they're walking away thinking, you know what? I've had it with this stuff. You know this picture that's on the screen? Isn't that beautiful? It's warm. It's inviting. Chestnuts roasting on an open. You know, it's nostalgic. You know, we could be thinking about all kinds. But you know what? I could put my hand in that fire and it will not burn me. You know, it's like a lot of Christians. We have life like a painting. We have life like a form. But we don't have the warmth of the fire. The warmth of the fire is what I call passion. It's what I call fervor, energy for God. And so today we've got countless numbers of Christians that have the appearance of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. You know, when I read Matthew 25, I thought, God, I don't want to be a foolish virgin. I mean, it's even in the book. You read it before it takes place. God gives you the insight. I'm going to come back and there are going to be half of the people not ready. Now, we just read that. You read that in Matthew 25. Half of them are not going to be ready. Now, we know that, and yet there'll be half of us that won't be ready. And then when we get to heaven, we'll be like, excuse me, you got to let me in. I went to church. I tithed. I sang in the choir. I read your Bible. I did all these things. And God said, wait a minute. The door is closed. So maybe the door is closed. Let me in. Did I read my Bible right? Is that in the Bible? It's in the Bible. Somebody looking at me like a deer in the middle of the night at headlights. It's in the Bible. So we have to understand that, okay, how can I be like the wise virgin? What can I do? I believe that it's this. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Are you hungering this morning? And are you thirsting after righteousness? Not after church. Because there's a whole lot of church services that aren't that righteous. Not after preaching. Because there's a whole lot of preaching that's not that righteous. Not after praying. Because there's not a whole lot of praying that's not necessarily righteous. It might be selfish. But are you hungering and thirsting today after the righteousness of God and wanting to be in His presence and wanting to be in His glory and let God totally engulf your life? You see, that kind of Christianity is what's going to sweep the city of Cleveland. It's what's going to cause revival across America. God gave us a vision years ago that there will be many fires breaking out in northeastern Ohio. And it will become a catalyst, an epicenter, if you will, of a revival around the world. Did you know that you are God's chosen in this region? Did you know that God has hand-selected you and filled you with His Spirit, breathed into your spirit? And now He's saying, I want you to be that fire. in northeastern Ohio that will cause revival to spread all over our country, all over the world. That's us. Boy, for such a time as this, has God called you, saved you, appointed you, and positioned you? Painted fire will never warm anyone. And they said to one another, were not our hearts greatly moved and burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and as he opened and explained to us the sense of the scriptures? I don't know if you've ever read this text before in Luke chapter 24. Talking about the men that were traveling together. The ones that had been with Jesus. Now disappointment had begun to rule their life. And they were finding themselves heading for despair, heading for obscurity. On the road, on the pathway. Some of you have been heading that way. But I'm here today to interrupt your journey. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will send Jesus into your life. Just like those two disciples on the way out of Jerusalem that day. On their journey to obscurity. And God will show up in the middle of your disappointment. Hallelujah. Now, you just have to excuse me. If this is your first time, I try not to get excited. But God is so good. Amen? Yes. Amen. I can't help it. I'm going to try. I'm going to try and be more, you know. One pastor told me, when we said we're coming to this area for starting to know the location, he said, oh, how are you going to reinvent yourself? I said, reinvent myself? What do you mean? He goes, well, you know, the people aren't the same out in this area as they are in your city, in Lorraine. You know, they're not going to welcome, you know, you have to reinvent yourself. I said, oh, there's only one me. I just have to be me. I can't be like Mr. Educated or Mr. Prepper or Mr. Religious. I'm just me. And he said, well, I don't think it's going to work. This whole story that we read in Luke 24 is a post-resurrection story. Everybody say that. Post-resurrection story. And the reason why it's a post-resurrection story is because prophetically it's speaking to a post-resurrection church. When you read the Bible, you want to read the Bible for the historical content. You want to read the Bible for the personal application. But you all want to always want to look at the scripture in relationship to its future implication. What was God saying about the church? So we are the church. And so he was speaking to us in a post-resurrection manner that there are going to come times in your life and in my life when we are going to be disappointed, when we're going to lose hope, when we are going to be disinterested, when things are going to be overwhelming to us. See, something happened to these two men in their life. They lost their devotion. They still love God. They still love God. How many of you love God? Let me see your hands. Man, look around. Everybody, just look around. Keep your hands up. Okay. Look around. Look at everybody in here that loves God. Powerful. But some of us, no doubt in this room, or that are listening to this CD, have lost something. Not our love, but our devotion, our passion, our fervor, and our fire. Last week, my wife and I were at a hospital. Tina had to have a test. She's fine. She's the healed of the Lord. But we had to have a test. So we walked up to this. We walked to three offices. We didn't know where we were going. And we walked to three offices. No, you got to go this one. No, not that one. You got to go this one. And we finally get to the right one. And the lady's behind. She's a volunteer. And she's behind checking us in. And I'm just, you know, playing with Tina. We like to play. Nothing really, you know, no PDA. But I mean, you know, we like to play. You know, hey, baby, what's happening? And put my arm around. And we like to just have, you know, those kinds of moments. And so the lady was saying, well, here's what you're going to do. You're going to have to stay here. You sit here in this waiting room with 50 other board people and let her go back there and see the doctor. And I said, no, you have to understand, I go where she goes. And she looked at me and I said, no, I've been with her, you know, I just like, I'm going where she's going. And I put my arm around her and I maybe kissed her or something. I don't remember what I did. She goes, are you all newlyweds? I said, yeah, we are. How long you been married? I said, 36 years. She said, oh, you guys. And the reason why I tell you that story, there's something attractive about passionate people. They stand out. You know, we've gotten used to treating Jesus sort of like we do our old ladies. And I only say that word so you understand the whole connotation of what I'm trying to bring. We say, we're ready, time to go to bed. Okay, so we say, time to go to bed. Okay, honey, time to go to bed. Good night. Love you. Love you too. And you go to bed. It's like, what is that? It's like, you're going to kiss me, but you're going to open your mouth. And put them fingers right back up here. Woo! And when you kiss me, move your face. Then pull me in. You know what I'm talking about? How many men in here know what I'm talking about? Some of you guys are afraid to even say so. And all of a sudden, it's hard to say goodnight.
Keep it real, Pastor. Keep it real.
What's missing with the peck on the cheek, goodnight, honey, is passion. And when we come to church, hey, Jesus. Jesus saying, that's all I get. Come on, bride.
It's good.
Open your mouth. Grab hold of my head. Pull me close. Woo. Their trial literally stole their passion, and disappointment ruled their life. Here's Satan's objective. Come between their love. How can I steal their passion? And I'm going to tell you in my life how it happens. Disappointment. When I lose hope. When I start feeling like we're never going to make budget. People aren't going to come back to church. They're not going to come to the altar. Tina, we've been doing this for 28 years. We've been believing God. It still hasn't happened. When those words begin to come out of your mouth, your heart becomes sick. And the first thing that leaves, not your love for God, because I still love God, but it's my passion, my fervor, my fire for God, my drive to be in His presence. And it might be because of your rebellious son or daughter. Maybe the marital difficulty that you're going through. Maybe the pink slip that you got at work. Maybe it's some other notice from the doctor. Or maybe it's some other situation in your life that you were hoping for this investment to make money. And all of a sudden now you've lost money. These are the realities of life. And they confront us like they did the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And it stole from them their passion for God, their fire for God, and their fervor for God. Let me remind all of us, when things are going well, it's great and it's easy to worship Jesus. I mean, if you came in here today and you just won the lotto, I'm serious. I don't know if you all play it here, but say you won the lotto. Somebody bought you a ticket. Okay. And you say, Lord, don't refuse me. I didn't gamble. They gave it to me. But just say for you won the lotto. You'd be in here like up here when they start singing, you'd be like, ow, Jesus. Say, what you so happy for? Oh, Jesus, so good. Jesus, so good. Why? Well, I gotta tell you, I just won the lotto. Now some of you family members would be up here dancing with him because you know you're gonna get something. I'm going to check the record. And if you're a tither, I'm going to be dancing. Woo! Right? But what if you came in here today from Friday and you just lost your job? Came home from work, your dog bit you. Your kids rebelling. Your wife ran off with another man. House burned down. Come to church on Sunday. Would you? Would you? See, Satan knows that if he can create disappointments and trials in life, they will begin to rule you. They will begin to dominate you. They will begin to rule your life. And I'm going to tell you right now, God is raising up a prophetic people that is not dependent upon the circumstances that we live in order to praise him. I'm going to praise him anyway. In Luke verse 15 and 16, he was sharing with us some powerful things. And while they were conversing and discussing together, this is so powerful. Jesus caught up with them and was already accompanying them. Think about this. They're talking about how they had just lost their job. Walking down the street, I just lost my job. I don't know what I'm going to do. Rent's due. Can't pay my car payment. I don't know what I'm going to do for food. And Jesus walks right up in the conversation that you're having. And they didn't even know it was him. Disappointment rules so powerfully, it will blur our vision from seeing God. They didn't see him. But their eyes were held so that they did not recognize him. So God, we need a people that can see him in the middle of trouble. In the middle of difficulty. In the middle of lack. You know, we've had so much faith teaching of increase and prosperity and abundance. But there's still a whole lot of us still believing for it. And haven't yet experienced it. And some of us, because of time, it has eroded and stolen our joy. And we're at the point where we want to give up and walk away and go into obscurity and despise the whole thing. But I'm here to rescue you today. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is walking with you along that pathway. And he wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to reveal himself in you. Church, we don't have to lose our fire. Sometimes people think when they age, they have to lose their fire. Caleb didn't. Caleb was an older man. Was he 80? I want my mountain. Oh, come on, Caleb. You're too. I want my mountain. Caleb, look. That walker, that cane, that chair. Caleb said, I don't need a walker and I don't need a cane. And I'm not sitting in any rocking chair. I want my mountain. I mean, what a generation of older people. And I said, God, give me an anointing where I can lead a bunch of old folk in crazy praise to God. I mean, can you see him now? Can you see him now? A bunch of gray hairs popping around. You know, every worship video that I see, every worship video is like, it's a bunch of kids with hair and stuff. They got like all this hair, no wrinkles on their face. They're bouncing around, jumping around, and they're doing this, and they're like all 20. I said, God, where's all the old people? I mean, wouldn't it be powerful to make one of these cutting-edge worship videos and everybody in it is over 60? Notice their response. They began to declare. And he said to them, what kind of things? He said, didn't you hear what's going on? Jesus even noticed how sad they were. He said, didn't you hear what's going on back in Jerusalem? You mean you've been around here, you don't even know what's going on? You know, some of us have made Jesus to feel that way. We feel like, God, you don't even know I got that pink slip. You didn't even know, did you? I didn't win the lotto. I thought I was going to do it, and I didn't win it. My team lost. You know, whatever causes you to be depressed or despondent or lose hope, you feel like God doesn't even know it happened. That's what they were saying. And they said to him, Jesus, who was a mighty prophet in work and word before God. He said, you know what? This Jesus, they're talking to Jesus. They're talking about Jesus. Now, they're talking to Jesus about Jesus. Now, watch this. This is important. Now, you'll catch this. They're talking to God about what God has done. You know what their problem was? They were living today in yesterday's experience. Do you follow me on that? And they began to tell him about how powerful this Jesus was. And how our chief priests and rulers gave him up to be sentenced to death and be crucified. And we were hoping that it was he who would redeem us and set Israel free. And beside all this, it's now the third day since all these things have occurred. And moreover, some women in our company astounded us and drove us out of our senses. Because we can't believe it. They were at the tomb early in the morning. They didn't even find his body. And they returned saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. So some of those who were with us went to the tomb and they found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. He ain't alive. Somebody stole his body. I mean, I can't believe it. Things are already going bad enough. Now they had to steal the body. Do you ever feel that way? When life is treating you so bad and then it's insulting you after that? It's like, God, what is going on? They walked with him. They had talked with him. He had told them that he was going to raise on the third day. But that didn't even come to their mind. Maybe there's a resurrection coming. They didn't even think about that. Because despondency and sadness had so overtaken their life and so ruled their life at the time that they could not get their passion back. They lost their hope. They lost their force of God, the victory of God. They lost their fervor. They lost their fire. And in verse 16, they were so near him, yet they couldn't even see him. You know, you can walk with God, you can talk to God, and never get your passion back. You can go to church, you can pray, you can worship, and never get your fervor back. And never get your fire back. You could be so hungry. And yet never break through. How do I break through? What did God have to do? What did Jesus have to do? He said to them, "You are slow of heart, O faithless generation. You are slow of heart." In other words, Jesus said this. I know something. You might be despondent. You might be discouraged. But I see something in you. I see a little flicker. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. He said, I aim to make that bigger. It's about to go out. But I'm not going to leave you there. See, God doesn't want to leave you as a foolish version. God doesn't want to leave us as a disciple on the road to Emmaus. He sees something in us. That's why in Revelation 3 and 2, he said, strengthen and reinvigorate that which remains. What remains in you as a believer? Do you still believe? Do you still acknowledge God as God? Do you still want to go to heaven? Do you still believe that the scripture is true? Do you? Do you still believe that? Say, okay, that little bit that's in there, God said, strengthen it. Reinvigorate it. Fan the flames. Get the fire burning once again. How? God, how? And we've tried to do it every which way, haven't we, as a generation? We've tried to come up with the new and crazy things, you know. All the bells and all the whistles. We're trying to come up with the new systems. We're trying to make people, you know, to feel like they can drive by and pick up a sermon at the drive-through window so they don't even have to park their car. 12-minute sermons. Come into church in and out in 45 minutes so you can be back out into hell. I mean, what in hell do we want anyway? Right? I mean, we're so anxious to get back out there. Well, I got to go. Where are you going? Now, if there ain't no Holy Ghost, there ain't no power there, then get. Get. But if God's present, the Holy Spirit is revealing himself. If God is real, why are we in such a hurry to go somewhere where he's not? And they began to ask the questions. What am I going to do? Where are we going to go? How am I going to get this back? And because you have it in you, God is seeking it. And I really feel of the Lord that there are some here today that your fire has gone down, but it's all right. Nobody's here to condemn you or judge you. Jesus called you and brought you to this place to hear this message because he said, you know what? I see it and I'm going to seek it. I want it. I want the life that's in you and I'm going to make sure it doesn't go out. He is so committed to you. He will not let you go. And this is what he had to do. The scripture says that he had to reveal them. He had to reveal himself through scripture. He had to relight the fire. In other words, giving them a reinterpretation of familiar things that he caused their hearts to burn within them. See, we know the Bible stories. You know church. Some of you have been in church since you were raised in church. You know all about the Bible. You know about the Jonah and the whale. You know about David and Goliath. You know about the apostles. You know about the second coming. You got it all down. But you become too familiar with it. And you've forgotten to look for the Jesus in it. See, scripture is a prophecy of Jesus. It's all about revealing who Jesus is, man. It's all about the Son of God. And our hearts need to burn within us. I don't want the bush to burn without. I want the bush to burn within. I don't want the blazing glory to come through the sky. I want the blazing glory of the sky to come into me. I want to be experiencing the burnings of God in my spirit. And so Jesus began to reveal to them the scriptures. He began to reveal to them through Moses, all the way to the prophets, about himself. He began to preach to them the word of the Lord again. Church, here's what we've got to do. We've got to tune our ears in to the word of the Lord, to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We've got to stop all the mad, loud volume noise around us, turn it down, and begin to hear what God is saying in our lives. What is the Holy Ghost speaking to you? God will speak, man. He'll speak anywhere at any time. He'll speak in the middle of the night. He'll wake you up. He'll give you a dream. He'll give you a vision. He'll begin to speak to you on the job while you're driving in your car, while you look at a beautiful tree and its multiple colors in the fall, or the first snowflake that hits the ground. All creation is groaning out for its redemption, and it speaks for the glory of God. He will speak. And he began to reveal to them the scriptures. And he said, I want you to know who I am. He said, I'm David's king. That's who I am. No, David wasn't my king. I was his king. And I want you to know I was Solomon's altogether lovely. Oh, help me, somebody. I'm about to run right now. He said, I'm Isaiah's child king called Emmanuel. I'm Jeremiah's branch of righteousness. I'm Ezekiel's wheel within the wheel. Help me, somebody. Go ahead and just hit me. He said, I'm Daniel's stone that came rolling out of the mountain, uncut with the hands of man. That's who I am. He said, I'm Joel's restoration that could take that which had been totally annihilated and bring it back to life again. I'm Amos's deliverer. I'm Obadiah's song. I'm Habakkuk's rifle. I'm his energy. I am Haggai's temple. I am all of this and more. You need to know who I am. But if all we do is read the scripture, we never feel the fire of Malachi, the peace of Nahum, the turning of Micah. Turn us again, God. He revealed himself to them. He's walking along. He said, did you know I'm Micah's turning? Did you know I'm Obadiah's deliverance? They were singing, oh, Shunda, God, wait a minute. Oh my gosh, it's Jesus. They didn't recognize him until he revealed himself in the word. Then they knew who he was. His name was Jesus. We can't do it with all the, help me, Jesus. I don't want to talk about that. He said, no, don't do it. That was me. I'm just going to stop by right there. But we today, and our hearts burn within us when we talk with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us. And I love your word, and I love your spirit and your voice. Calling my name out loud. It's a simple thing, man. It's finding Jesus in the word. That's why I love it. So I love your word. I love your spirit and your voice calling my name. You see, because he is Obadiah's deliverer. But that's my deliverer. He is Habakkuk's song, but that's my song. He is Joel's restoration, but that's my restoration. Do you know what I'm talking about? I can't help it. He's my wheel. He's my wheel within the wheel. He's my stone that was uncut. And he's changed my life. He's made me to be a God seeker, hungering and thirsting after him. But it's so hard to hear his voice today. We have the iPod in the ears, and we're text messaging at the same time, and we're watching TV, and we're doing our homework all at the same time, and we're on the phone. And the world's blaring, and the volumes of this age have got our attention. And with 4 children and 10 grandchildren, I know what it's like that when the phone rings and they're all in the house, one has got to stop. I can't talk to you on the phone and listen to them at the same time. I either have to tell you I got to call you back, or I got to tell everybody, quiet, I'm on the phone. What's the volume level around you in your world today? How high is the volume? Can you hear his voice? Can you hear his voice? Play that song for me. Do you know it? I love your word. You remember it, don't you? James can play anything. But I just beseech you, by the Spirit of the living God, to turn your ears to him, to his voice. Not for our sake. I mean, it's a blessing to have the joy of the Lord and the strength of God, but not for our sake, because this has got to be bigger than us. This has got to be about people driving up on 271 and some of the off roads, some of the people that are sitting at home today, the near 80% that won't even darken the door of church on a Sunday morning in America, the 10,000 plus churches that will close in the next 4 years. That's net. Even after all the ones that will start like this location, there'll be 10,000 more that will close. It's for the people today who are still sleeping off the hangover last night. It's for the young girls who are looking for their identity and love. It's for the young men today who are incarcerated behind bars and should be on the street today, being able to pursue their destiny and their vision, and their hope is lost. This is more than just us. We must be a people who seek the face of God. And recapture our passion for him. I love your word. I love your spirit. And your voice. Calling my name. Calling my name. You're calling my name out loud. Guys, help me sing this because I'm not a singer. Come on. I love your voice.
I love your spirit and your voice.
Calling my name, Jesus.
Calling my name out loud.
Sing it again. I love your voice.
I love your voice.
Sisters, all the ladies sing it, will you? Come on, lift your voice. I will help us.
I love your word. I love your spirit and your voice. Calling my name aloud.
Okay, all the brothers, get your Bible. Hold it up, man. Come on, get your Bible. Hold it up. Sing it with me now.
I love your word. Your spirit and your voice calling my name out loud.
Come on, everybody, stand and sing it now.
I love your word. I love your spirit and
close your eyes for a moment and just begin to talk to Jesus. Lord, I want to know you. Reveal yourself to me, Jesus. Let me see you in the Word. Let me know you and let me regain my passion, my fervor, my hunger for you, Lord. I don't want to be a nominal Christian. I don't want to be an average believer. There's nothing mediocre about you, and there's nothing mediocre about me. I don't want to go halfway up the mountain, Lord. I want to go all the way to the top, where the hill of the Lord, where the mountain of the Lord and the house of the Lord is established. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, that's where we want to be. We want to be with you, Lord. We want to walk with you, Lord. We want to talk to you, Lord. But most importantly, Jesus, we want you to speak to us. We want you to talk to us, Lord. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Calling my name. Thank you, Lord, that you're calling my name. Just nice and gentle. Just before the Lord, just begin to listen to his voice right now. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Nice and gentle. Thank you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I love your spirit and your voice.
Hallelujah.
Calling my name aloud.
Wait on you today, Jesus.
Ooh, I love you, Lord. I love your spirit and your voice.
Thank you, Lord.
Calling my name aloud.
Father, right now we just pray that you would release miracles in this room. I just pray right now, God, that you would release miracles, Lord. Healings, deliverance. Jesus, I thank you, Father, that addictions are falling apart. God, things that have bound us, things that have held us, they're breaking loose. I thank you, Lord, that depression is being broken right now. Sadness, disappointment. Oh, God, obscurity. Even come to the point of despising the things of God. I break that power today, that stronghold over the people. I command it to be broken. I command it to loose itself. I command it to go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Spirit of the living God, draw me, Jesus. Draw me, Jesus. Draw the church, Jesus. Raise up a witness in this generation, God. Would you lift your hands with me? Come on, sing that psalmist cry. Have the deer pants for the water brook.
As the deer panted for the waters of my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship. You alone are my
ask the altar ministry team to come to the front and just kind of spread across here. Just for a minute. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know about your destiny and your future. And if you were to die today, whether you'd go to heaven or whether you'd go to hell, or maybe you don't even know. But the Bible says these things were written that you may know that you can go to heaven. And that Jesus is here right now with open arms saying, you know what? I see what's in you. And I want to raise it up. I want to inflame it for me. And so today, maybe you need to give your life to Christ. We want to pray with you. You say, you know what, Pastor? You know, I'm a Christian, but I've just let disappointment get a hold of me. Hope has stolen away my joy. We just want to agree with you and pray with you. Or maybe this morning you say, you know what? I just need a touch from God. We want to invite you to come right now. Before we go that way, those of you that need to, why don't you come this way? We're going to sing it one last time, and I want you to move. And just, ladies, you find a lady. Guys, you find a guy. We're going to pray with you. We're going to believe God for your victory. Amen? Can you lift your voice one last time before we get dismissed? Let this corporate anointing come. Come on, you need prayer. I want you to come. Yes, Lord.
The waters of my soul.
With the compassion as much as I can. If you're here right now, just keep that other song going. If you're here right now and you haven't moved and you know that you need to, for whatever reason, we invite you to come now. So would you come now? This is your opportunity. We don't want you to miss it. Would you come now if that's you? Thank you, Lord. We'll wait on you because you're that important to Jesus. You're that important to us as well. Whatever reason, whatever need that you have, God will wait on you. We'll believe that God will meet your need. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Would you stretch a hand out to these that are praying? Father, we stretch a hand out to them. We say, God, they are blessed. We say they are your people. We say they are hungry for Jesus. So now, Lord God, meet their every need. Meet their need, Lord. Let the Spirit of God come upon them. Move in them. Draw them ever so close to you, Jesus. And Father, we'll give you all praise, all the glory, and all the thanks. Because you are an awesome God. Okay. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And amen. While these are praying, we just say, live right, love everybody, pray hard. If you'd like to linger in the presence of the Lord, you may do that right there at your seat. We really don't have an altar space. But maybe you just want to sit and praise him for a little bit. I'll have the worship team continue to worship the Lord. But have a wonderful Jesus-filled day. We'll see you next time here at Church on the Road.